Welcome to the show where we explore how data, innovation, and empathy are reshaping the future of healthcare. Today, I'm thrilled to talk to Bruno, a true innovator whose personal journey became the spark for Gregory MS. Bruno, welcome to the Rare Mind Talks. I'd like to start with the first question about yourself and Gregory, if you would like to introduce a little bit about yourself, about Gregory, and tell us how your own diagnosis inspired the creation of Gregory.
Okay. So I live in Lisbon and I work with communication mostly. I teach digital communication at the university here. I've always worked with digital strategy and communication since 2010 or something like that. So over 15 years of experience in the field. And I got diagnosed with multiple sclerosis back in 2019. And back then I wasn't worried at all because figuring that medicine had advanced so much, it wouldn't be a problem. It would just be another part of my life from that point onward. Gregory doesn't come out of inspiration. It comes out of fear and needing a way to find a solution. He is an artificial intelligence robot that is always covering the latest publications for what papers bring good patient outcomes.
Excellent. And that fear that you mentioned, this is a really inspiring spark for innovation. And what does it mean for you to build this innovation and patient-led company or organization to keep the patient voice in every decision?
It's more than just a patient voice, and it's more about the decision. My personal journey is more one of whenever I find a problem, I try to solve it for myself, and if I can, for others as well. And the problem that I had was that I didn't have any knowledge on MS and any related treatments or any breakthroughs that might be happening. I needed something to keep me up to speed with what was going on. And I knew that the new medicines are out of my reach, were and still are out of my reach. And I also knew that I shouldn't be focusing on my problem specifically, but on my medical team's difficulty in managing their resources. And the only skill that I had at hand is my automation and coding skills, even though I don't come from IT, I come from communication. And in communication, we know that too much information can be as bad as not enough information. Gregory tries to solve that problem by being a filter to identify what is a quality paper and what is a paper that points to good patient outcomes. I think I drifted off a bit, sorry.
No, that's perfect. And it actually shows, I think it's really interesting because, as you said, you come from this communication background. You have a passion about technology and education, and you are a lecturer as well. And then you bring this together with others who have maybe other skill sets that can complement you and create this amazing bot, which is Gregory, right? So sometimes having this objective, knowing exactly what your why is and what you want to achieve, makes you kind of go through the hurdles of the journey, because it's a journey, isn't it? I mean, and you have experienced that.
Yeah, it is a journey, and Gregory has become not just a project and an idea, but also my way of coping with the fear of getting worse.
And you are at the same time bringing information to yourself as you are sharing with others. And
yeah.
When we talk about MS and other rare diseases out there as well, sharing this knowledge can be very powerful, right? Because we as carers, patients with mm-hmm. diseases, etc., we know day in, day out the difficulties we find ourselves, and sharing this is very powerful.
Yeah, the difficulties and also the fact that we sometimes don't know each other or can't find the groups of people that share the same condition and the mm-hmm. same mindset. Because if you go to patient associations, you're going to find out that you don't think like they all do. Some of them are, I don't want to say that they gave up, but they have accepted their condition and they're not looking to improve it. And I understand why. I mean, it's a daunting task. But others really want to roll up their sleeves and try to find solutions. And sometimes when you're alone trying to find a solution, you're not going to go far. You might start with a lot of motivation, but there's gonna be a day where you're going to either wake up or you're gonna put your head on the pillow and you're just gonna think, I can't do this today anymore. But when there's a community of people that think like you, that want to drive change in that same area, those days are easier to manage. And sometimes when you're feeling down, someone comes along and picks you up.
No, I 100% agree with that, the power of community. And let me pick up on what you just said, Bruno. And how can the patient feedback that you get from associations and other patients that you've talked to about Gregory help you improving the solution? And did it lead to any breakthrough while you were coding Gregory?
What would you call a breakthrough?
I mean, any spark for innovation, any complement of ideas that you had and made that, wow, type of a feature that you maybe didn't think immediately about.
I can't think of a concrete example because my main stakeholder is not the patient, it's the researcher and the
Right.
doctor. And I haven't had the opportunity to really have a face-to-face with a doctor that is fully engaged in giving feedback and improving Gregory. So it's a lot of guesswork. I think about, okay, what do I need to know? So at first, I wanted to know about research. Second, I wanted to know about clinical trials. And that's how Gregory starts building new features. Whenever I find a problem that I have, I try to think if Gregory can solve it. For example, for the clinical trials, it's not the same thing as finding new research. You want to know about the trials as soon as they're registered so that you can maybe apply to it. So that's why over the last 12 months, my main focus was on finding the best sources for the clinical trial information, all the registries. We're using the big three, the one from CTIS, the one from the European Union, the one from the World Health Organization. So right now we can have a snapshot of all the research that's being done around MS. And I figured this is something that is going to be good for doctors who are looking to drive more clinical trials to their own centers. But again, since I don't have any contact and the engagement that I get from doctors is low to medium, it's hard, you know? However, that engagement has been growing. That has to be said as well. Lately, the team that that follows me, that follows my case, has shown a bit more interest in helping point Gregory in the right direction. And what I asked from them was the problem that I had since day one, which is I don't know what words I should put in on the search queries. I don't know what topics of research are important within MS. So if they can help me with that, I'll be able to deliver better information for everyone because we also have a lot of patients that signed up for the newsletters, not just for the clinical trials, but also for the recent relevant papers with good patient outcomes.
So we leave the appeal to all the healthcare professionals out there listening to these episodes and others
Always.
who this episode might be shared with to get in touch with Bruno to engage because definitely Gregory is doing an amazing work in collecting all this information and sharing this information. And you've mentioned also the technology behind Gregory. Let's dive in. Into it a little bit more, Bruno. How do you use AI and the data to make the information more accessible to the researchers, to the healthcare professionals, and even to patients? Because you also have this part of the information being shared with patients. Yeah. How do you use the technology?
So one of the biggest difficulties is reading the abstracts and understanding what is being written there if you don't have a medical background. So for that, Gregory has a summarizer system that reads the abstract and tries to extract the main takeaways. So instead of reading the whole thing, you can just have five bullet points with what is important within this. He also has a plugin system where if I wanted to connect it to ChatGPT before sending out the emails or sending out the alerts, it could be done. Also, since he has a relevance engine that was trained with my annotations, he can pinpoint when there's a new relevant article based on my assessment. That is the problem. The best thing to do would be to have an actual team working on identifying relevant papers so that we could train the algorithms better based on their knowledge and not on my gut feeling most of the times, because I can understand when something talks about being a neuroprotective agent or boosting the production of myelin for the brain. Sure, but there's a lot of things that might be relevant that I don't pick up because I don't have the training.
Is that a conversation, or is that part of the conversation that also needs to happen with not only the community, but also with the professionals that you were referring to?
Yes, that is a big part of the
Right.
conversation.
So the universities and medical schools out there, as well.
Yeah, because what Gergi can do is it can speed up their process quite a deal. So every time that you have to come up with a consensus or run a systematic review, you have to spend hours researching and collecting the papers. Gregory can do that in less than 20 minutes.
Two things there I'm hearing, right? One is the getting the right information, and then the second part is understanding the information within these papers. And I remember when my son was diagnosed, we got two scientific papers about the disease. And yeah, I mean, my background is not health. It was really difficult to understand them. So these tools like Gregory can really help out patients as well to understand a bit better, not to maybe resolve the entire problem, but they have to have more information so then they can ask more educated questions to the health professionals that can then guide the to the way out, right? I mean, and this is kind of the powerful part of Gregory as well,
Yes.
is in this summarization that you've mentioned.
And recent information, because sometimes when you Google something,
In recent.
you might find a paper that is from 2 years, 5 years ago, which might be relevant, but something new might have come up that disproves that first claim.
Absolutely, absolutely. And Bruno, you run Gregory as a business. How do you manage the that part of the, or the balance of your personal life with your corporate or organizational business side of life? So how do you balance this personal side of being a patient and the business side of running a company?
You have to be very organized and very methodic. And I sometimes drop the ball. I'm not perfect, of course, but I am organized. So I always know what needs to be done next, either for me or for a client. So that balance for me was a learning process. And Gregory was never meant to be a company. And in fact, it's still not a company. There is a nonprofit organization that we have set up, but with one purpose alone. I wanted to be able to manage the donations and the expenses without having access to that money. And I wanted Gregory to be as transparent as possible regarding the pitfalls, because there are a few, like I said, regarding where the money goes and why we are spending it and where we are spending it. We always publish a yearly report with the accounts of how much donations came in, where did we spend that money, what breakthroughs did we get from the last year, and what we're planning for the next year. I've been doing that since the project started. The business side of things, I do have my own company apart from my teaching part, and I provide consultancy. And yes, we had clients that asked to install Gregory on their own systems, but what we did is we did not charge for the software. We charged for the time that it took to set up the server and to configure Gregory for their own needs. That way we can keep things separate and transparent for everyone. And when there's an upgrade to Gregory, everybody gets it.
All right, all right. And so that means they can have the output that comes from Gregory in their own web pages,
Exactly.
sites, internet, etc., right? So they leverage the powerful technology of Gregory in bringing the latest results available to the people that your clients serve.
Exactly. For example, there's a project called Regenerat, which is studying the regeneration of the central nervous system. And they are displaying the latest research on their website using Gregory. There's another project called Genie, which is a study group for encephalitis, autoimmune encephalitis.
Right.
And they're also using Gregory to pinpoint new case studies, new data papers, new systematic reviews that come out, and they have that on their website. It's also possible to add any other channel of communication. For example, TMS part is using Mastodon and using Blue Sky to keep people up to speed with what's going on in the field. And there's also, of course, email. Email is never going to die. So people can get their email on a weekly basis or immediately once there's a new clinical trial.
Awesome. And what is the type of feedback that you get from the examples you've just shared? So what's the type of feedback that you get from your clients?
Well, the clients like the idea because it saves them time and because they can display the latest research and show that they're up to speed with what's being done. It's also a way for them to drive more traffic to the website, of course, which is always a performance indicator, right?
Indeed,
Yeah.
indeed.
There still needs to make the leap and they need to start training the system so that it can identify automatically what is most relevant to them and maybe give it a spotlight.
And they can create community. It sounds like by using, for example, Gregory in their own social networks, it also enables to create communities around their own topic, always having the latest information available, right?
Exactly.
And maybe this is a good shout as well to the patient associations and patient groups out there, because it might be an option to explore as well. And so we've talked about your journey as a patient innovator, a businessman, and this leads me to think that you have to add some or making some hard decisions along the way. Can you share some of these hard decisions that you had to make and some examples? How did you overcome those?
That's a hard question. Not because I don't have examples, but I'm not sure if all of them fit. Because at the end of the day, this isn't about being a patient or wanting to run a business. It's about being human. You know, it's not about, I don't want to make millions. I just want to make enough so that I can have a comfortable life and be happy. And I never really wanted to build the Lisbon Collective like I did. I didn't even want to build Gregory, to be honest. I was very happy before the diagnosis. But when the diagnosis came, I was still working for a big company. And I was transparent about the diagnosis because I figured transparency is the way. I think I was wrong because I ended up being bullied out of the company. And I had to make the tough decision to just resign because they were burning me out. And I felt like I was being pushed away. And I rather end it on my own terms than just wait for the ball to drop. So that was a hard decision, yeah. And that's why I then decided, okay, so I'll have to start freelancing again. And I did it. Rolled up my sleeves and started looking for clients and stuff like that. But always wanting to keep Gregory as independent as possible. Because the more people and the more developers and the more other businesses can benefit from it, the more it can grow and the more people it can help.
But that is inspirational, Bruno, because it would be maybe easier to just cover, your heads under the pillow and stay there quiet. But actually, you took destiny by your hands, right? And you kind of took this step forwards.
Yeah, people tell me that a lot, and I don't know how to respond because in the end, it's just because I don't know any other way to do it. It's my parents' fault. They should have taught me to just give up and find a different solution, and they didn't. And thank God they didn't. But you get the idea. I mean, people think it's like a big leap, a big decision. I just didn't see any other way.
It's a forced, sometimes it's a forced decision, but for a greater good. And I think if everyone would have, the kind of the courage to come out that way and using whatever skill sets they had to make this a bit better world and contribute actively as you have been doing with Gregory, I mean, we would be many more steps ahead than we are, but it's already a good start. And I mean, I think it's listening to your stories, I believe it's really inspirational for our listeners, our audience, and others to come out, because sometimes the gap is because we don't talk about these topics deeply enough, and because sometimes we don't have the courage to take the next step. So I think that is perfect personally, I think it is a very important step to take. And thank you for taking that step. And thank you for not giving up on Gregory.
Oh no, I can't give up
And
on Gregory because right now, when people ask me what it is to me, it's my representation of hope, not just for me, but for everyone that has MS or any other condition. Because Gregory has the power to break down the silos, and to give us up-to-date information in a readable format so that we can have a conversation one-to-one with our doctors. Because right now, doctors are still up on their ivory towers prescribing the treatments. What we need is for them to be mentors in telling us what is the most up-to-date information, what can we expect as a diagnosis, even if it's a bad one. We need to know what's up ahead so that we can prepare for it. And if we don't break the language barrier, technical mostly, but also linguistic, because most of the research is in English and not everyone has a good grasp on the language. But the more we break down those barriers and the more we make doctors mentors and not prescribers, the more everyone can win, I think.
Indeed. And you mentioned hope. So let's talk about hope and future. Where do you see AI and data making the biggest difference in patient care over the next few years?
Exactly what I just said in breaking the language barrier and letting people understand technical information in a more plain English or plain Portuguese way. I think that's the biggest problem. Doctors have a very good knowledge, of course. Not all of them have a very good communication skills. And these tools can help because they give some agency to the patient, and the patient can take charge in, okay, so the doctor said that this is important to me. Let me just use one of these AI tools that can translate from English to plain Portuguese, for example, which is my case. And they get a better understanding of what they're dealing with. But again, the doctor needs to be an active part and not just a prescriber that they visit every 6 months.
And that is probably where also what they prefer to do, right? Rather than spending all the time in the appointments reading reports and etc. So this is also something where AI and tools like Gregory can support, is to speed up that more admin part of things and then allow more time for these patient professional conversation, because patients are also becoming more educated on some of these topics, and naturally the topics and the questions get more difficult to answer for a very short appointment that we might have, right? So
Exactly.
it needs to have to be to, we need to have more time for this communication to flow. That's great, Bruno. It's a great conversation so far. I have here one last question that I'm curious about. And if you could change one thing in how the healthcare system treats patients today, what would it be? And how are you working towards that, I guess, through maybe Gregory and your consulting business?
Well, my consulting business is not just about healthcare. It's more about building good digital tools. But that is a good question. What would I change in our healthcare system to make things better? Well, the main obstacle that they mention is resources. If I wouldn't change the current panorama of what's going on, but I would add more training on how to use all kinds of technology, not just AI. Every hospital, every clinic, they always have those cork boards where they put pamphlets and other information that is required and to communicate to their patients. And we live in a time when the use of information can be so much more than just a cork board with some pamphlets stuck on them. That's one problem. Another problem is sometimes doctors and nurses and other staff, they're wasting too much time in menial tasks that don't add value to anything. And that actually drain them of their energy, which is just sad because that person's already doing something very valuable. They shouldn't be stuck with menial tasks For example, let's say that someone needs to collect information on a patient in a spreadsheet instead of the usual medical diary that they keep on us. Maybe an AI can just scan it and fill in the spreadsheet with the relevant information. Of course, there's a problem that the AI might miss something, but it's better to have the human validate what came out of the AI rather than have the human read over 1 week or 6 weeks or six appointments, whatever, of clinical data on their patients to structure that information. Or let's say that they need to send information to the patients. They need a secure way to do that. And sometimes they just, I've had situations where I got an email with a PowerPoint attached and some clinical trials and some papers that were relevant. A PowerPoint is not the best way to communicate that information. Okay. I don't know what was happening behind the scenes. So, but what I'm trying to say is that there is a technical gap that needs to be resolved within the healthcare system that is not directly linked to patients, but to the day-to-day tasks and the way that we use technology.
Yeah, indeed. And I think part of that message is also that the AI is not here to replace care, but it's here to augment the powerful and the skill set of the professionals and the patients, right? So it's that's why so many AI tools are called copilots, right? Because it augments, it complements, not necessarily replace the care being provided.
And there's a little joke. So, the way that I came up with Gregory was inspired by a movie called Big Hero 6. On that movie, there's a robot whose sole purpose is to be a nurse. And if you look at Gregory's face, he looks just like the robot from the Big Hero 6 movie, Baymax.
Right.
Because Baymax, being a nurse, he was very concerned about the well-being of the humans around him. And he was built by a man that wanted a robot that could take care of everyone. And that's the idea behind Gregory, is like you said, Gregory is there to do the hard work so that you don't have to. He's there to scan you and find what's bothering you and help you resolve it. Just like Baymax.
That's awesome, Bruno. And I didn't know about that fact, so I just learned about it. Thank you for sharing. And if people want to both meet you and Gregory online, where can they find you?
Well, there are two websites for Gregory. One is gregory-ms.com, that is just focused on multiple sclerosis, and where they can sign up to get the alerts for new clinical trials and the weekly digests of new research. To find me, it's easier. You can just go to brunomeral.eu and everything's there. And also for the company, lisboncollective.com.
Awesome. Bruno, thank you very much for such an inspiring and insightful conversation. You've showed us that the patients lead innovation while at the same time becoming also more human, more real on these conversations, and as a result, more impactful as well. For everyone that have joined this conversation, thank you very much. Stay tuned, subscribe in your podcast of choice, and share these episodes so the message gets passed along and wider. Stay tuned for more voices at this intersection of rare diseases, AI, and data. Thank you very much, everyone.